this is an incredible morning to be gathered as God's church. Like, this is the day we get to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. That he was dead, he was buried, he was locked away in a tomb. When everybody else gets dead, buried, locked away, their body stays there and starts to decay. But Jesus rose from the dead. God actually raised him up, and it confirmed everything that he taught. All of Jesus' teachings, the reason we still talk about them today, the reason we follow Jesus as Lord, is because he rose from the dead. If he'd have stayed in the tomb, then he would have went down in history maybe as, you know, somebody who said some nice things, but who was actually crazy. Because Jesus made a lot of claims like, if you follow me, you'll get to God. He made all of these claims that showed that he was actually God. So if he'd have stayed dead, then it would have been like, this guy was crazy. But the reason we follow him today is because he rose from the dead. He is risen, and it's incredible to be able to celebrate that. So I'm going to pray before we jump into the scripture this morning, and we're going to look at the effects of Jesus' resurrection. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much that we can gather this morning as your church. And Lord, we just want to welcome your presence, and as we read your word, I just pray that we would hear what you're saying to us right now. And Lord, maybe there's some of us in this room that aren't sure what we believe or aren't sure where we stand as far as belief and faith in you. Lord, you, when you were here, you were never intimidated by people that didn't believe. You just welcomed them. Hey, come and see. And so, Lord, we just pray that this morning as we open your word, that you would be clearly seen and you draw us to yourself and give us hope for this city that we live in that we pray for, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into the scripture, we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. So if you want to go in your script, your Bible, you can go. It's going to be up on the screen if you don't have it, so you can follow along. But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had a dream, like a really, really bad, horrible, terrifying dream, and you felt like it was real to the point where like you were sweating? Okay, so you woke up and there's like sweat left on the sheet, right? Have you ever had one of those horrible dreams, and then you wake up and realize it was a dream, and you're flooded with relief, right? Like, is that, or have you ever, even more than that, have you ever had a dream where you did something really bad and you actually had the feeling in your heart like you did this thing and you were going to bear the consequences of it and it just felt so real and you wake up and it sometimes after waking up from a dream like that, it takes you like a minute or two to figure out, well, for one, where you are. Honestly, sometimes I wake up from like these deep sleeps and I'm like looking around, like, where am I, right? Like, what? Oh, okay, I have my wife and kids, and like I remember who I am and all this stuff. But after, I remember there's been a few times in my life where I've had dreams where I've done something bad, and I just felt like the weight of what those consequences were going to be. And then when I realized it was a dream, I was just flooded with like, oh, it was just a dream. That wasn't real. Like, I felt like, man, this is amazing, and I just felt incredible. Well, we're going to talk this morning about a guy in Scripture whose name is Peter. And after the resurrection of Christ, those feelings of reassurance, that flood of just, oh, it's going to be okay, is exactly what Peter felt. And we're going to see why. And so next week, we're actually starting a series called The Unlikelies. And so we're going to work through Scripture. And we talk about this a lot around here, that like the people God uses in Scripture are often the people that are like the most broken and the most messed up. You'll find this, okay? The heroes in Scripture, like the way their stories get told makes them look really bad. But it just shows how awesome and amazing God is. Maybe you were sitting here this morning listening to Tom, and you're like, why is this guy getting up and talking about bad things that happened in his family? Maybe you're like, what is that? I want to tell you, when you've experienced Jesus in your life, the things that went on in the past, it's almost like they're bragging rights. You're like, look at how much of a mess my life was. Look at the mistakes I made, but look at what God did. You know, and I was reminded again as Tom was sharing his testimony about my dad. A lot of you who've come around here know my dad spent quite a few years in prison, and our whole family had a really messed up background, a lot of prison and crime and addictions, and some of my family that took their own lives. And so when my dad would get up and share his story, a lot of times people were like, why would you expose some of these dark parts of your past? Like, it doesn't make sense to get up. I mean, it's one thing to get up and talk about how much other people have hurt you, because then we can kind of play the victim when we're talking about people that have hurt us. But if we're honest, all of us have done things that are wrong, that we've initiated, that we've done. But once you've encountered Christ and experienced the power of his resurrection in your life, those things are just, a part of the past, and it's an example of God's redemption in our lives. He is amazing. And so that's why Tom can get up and share his story and talk about parts that, you know, you're like, why would you say that publicly? Well, it just points to this awesome, amazing God. And we're starting this series next week called The Unlikelies. And this is kind of, in some ways, I was getting ready to preach this week, and I was like, this really is very similar to where we're headed over the next few weeks. But The Unlikelies are stories in Scripture of people that are like the most unlikely to be used of God. But then God does a miracle in their life. And so Peter is one of those guys. We're going to look at his story today, and you're going to see that he's one of these guys that's really unlikely. Like, the fact that God would use this guy, Peter, and raise him up to be like the head of the church, it doesn't make any sense, because none of us would have chosen him based on his track record. But God is amazing. And so I just want, as we get into this, just know, no matter what your background is, no matter where you're coming from, God is not intimidated by your past. He's not intimidated by the things that you've done. But he does want to do a change in your heart so that where you're headed is different. So that the decisions you make from this point forward in your life are different. And the resurrection of Jesus is what gives us hope that that's actually possible. And so we're going to go Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And this is Mark's account. So there's four Gospels in the New Testament that tell the story of Jesus' resurrection. And we're going to read from Mark today. And you'll see why. And so just kind of notice some things as we go through about Peter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after the sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter." And I want to focus on this thing that the angel says. So these women, okay? So Jesus was crucified. They were there at his crucifixion. He was nailed to a cross, okay, between two thieves, and he was horribly beaten. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was laughed. Everybody that walked by were hurling insults at him. He dies this brutal death, right? And then he's thrown into this tomb. These women, they go to the tomb looking for Jesus, and this angel is there and declaring, like, he's not here. He's risen. You know, I heard somebody say it this way. They said the reason the stone was rolled away wasn't so Jesus could get out, because later, after his resurrection, he shows up in a locked room. Like, he gets there, and the disciples are all freaked out, like you would be if you were in a locked room and some guy just appeared, right? What would you do? I always think about, like, man, if I was there, what would I do? I'm in this locked room, and this guy all of a sudden that wasn't there before is sitting there, and they're all like, right? And so, obviously, in his resurrected body, he was able to get into places that we couldn't. And so the stone that was rolled away, the reason it was rolled away was so that people could see in and see that it was empty, right? So these women, they get there, and they're looking for Jesus, and this angel is sitting there, and he says, why are you looking for Jesus? He has risen. So go tell the disciples and Peter. And it's really interesting because Peter is a disciple of Jesus. So really, all the angel needed to say was go tell the disciples, and Peter was one of those guys. But he specifies, make sure you tell Peter. And I want to see why he does that. Continuing on in verse 7, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And so the next slide, verse 7, I want to look at, just put that up there, but what the angel says, go and tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And so I want to look a little bit today at the life of Peter and his experience of the resurrection of Christ. Okay, and so just remember what we were talking about, this the feeling that you have when you wake up from this horrible dream and realize it's not real. Peter, the reason that I told that story at the beginning is because the reason Peter felt that is because when Jesus died, all of his hopes, all of his dreams, all of the things that he was aspiring for were dead in him. And Peter was at the point where he was just ready to completely give up on life. And the resurrection gave Peter hope. Peter goes on, okay, and church history tells us this, Peter actually goes on to preach Jesus with such boldness that the people that were trying to put a stop to Christianity, they took Peter and they crucified him on a cross. And Peter, and he preached Jesus with such boldness that when they were taking Peter to crucify him on a cross to say, listen, you can't keep preaching in this name of Jesus, because at this time there was some heavy controlling powers at work that were trying to stamp out Christianity. And Peter, he was like, no way. You can't put me on a cross the way Jesus did, because he is God. I don't even want to, I'm not even worthy of that. And so they said, okay. And they actually, the tradition says they actually put Peter on a cross upside down so that he didn't have to look like Jesus when he died, right? So there's this major transformation. Peter goes from wanting to give up on everything to preaching and proclaiming Jesus with boldness to the point where he just could not be stopped unless they killed him. And so on this slide, I want to do a little bit of a character sketch of Peter, because we want to look at, why did this angel say, go tell the disciples and Peter? And so it's up on the screen. But before the arrest of Jesus, so Jesus had spent 3 years doing ministry, and he had this group of 12 disciples that were kind of the inner group of 12, but then there was a group of 120 or so other disciples that also followed, and Peter was in the inner group of 12, and then there was another inner group of that 12 that was like three that were really close to Jesus. So Peter spent 3 years with Jesus, and he encountered a lot of incredible things. So he was with Jesus from the beginning. He left everything to follow him. And there's a story in one of the Gospels where Jesus, in the book of Mark chapter 5, Jesus is invited to go pray over this girl who had died. And so he was invited to go pray for her before she died, but before he got to the house, she had died. And when he gets to the house to go heal this girl, people come out and they say, hey, don't bother coming in and praying over this girl because she's dead. And so Jesus says, no, listen, I'm going to go in and I'm going to pray for her. She's not dead, she's sleeping. And this crowd starts to laugh and mock Jesus. And so what Jesus does is really cool, is he tells everybody leave the room. Like her family, everybody had to leave the room. And he invited Peter, James, and John, these three disciples, to come in with him to pray over this girl. So Peter's invited into this inner circle to pray over this girl who had died. And when Jesus prays over her, she rises to life. Peter experiences that. So he's one of these inner circle of three people that were really close to Jesus. He's one of three who gets to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And that's another incredible story. And you stick around long enough, we'll talk about it. But Jesus, there was a lot of events in Jesus' life that pointed to the fact that he was God in the flesh, right? And so Peter was one of three disciples that actually experienced Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's the only disciple to walk on the water with Jesus. And maybe you're familiar with that story, but there's this story where the disciples, they're rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and this storm comes, and the waves are crazy in the wind, and they look out, the disciples look out, and Jesus is walking up on the water. And Peter does what all of us would do, and he's like, hey, can I come walking out there? Wouldn't you do that? Peter's like this crazy guy. All the rest of the disciples are like hanging on for dear life, and they're like freaked out. They're in the boat, and probably like cowering down, and I'm assuming some of them were seasick. I used to go lobster fishing, and man, new people on a boat get really sick in crazy waves. And Peter looks out, and he sees Jesus, and he's just got so much faith, and he says, Jesus, can I walk out there to see you? And Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter walks out on the water, miraculously, right? He's the only one of the disciples that gets to experience that. He's the first disciple to figure out the identity of Jesus. There's one time Jesus is sitting around with his disciples, and people didn't quite know who he was yet. They didn't know that he was the Son of God. They didn't know that he had come to sacrifice his life for the whole world. And he asks the disciples, he says, you know, who do people say that I am? And they all are saying different things. Well, some people say you're a good teacher, and some people say you're a prophet. And Peter speaks up, and after he says what he says, Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. He's the first one to recognize who Jesus is. And then he tells Jesus, when Jesus starts talking about the fact that he's going to die, Peter says, Jesus, there's no way I'll ever let people take you and kill you. I'll die for you. And he proves it, because when people come, right before Jesus goes to the cross, right before he goes in for questioning, when this crowd of soldiers shows up to arrest Jesus, Peter, he grabs his sword and he runs over to the servant of the high priest, and he takes his sword and he cuts off this guy's ear. If you thought the Bible was boring, you got to get into it, right? So Peter just like goes ballistic. He proves what he said. He was like, yeah, I'm willing to die for you. He goes over and he cuts off this guy's ear. Jesus rebukes him, and he picks up the guy's ear and puts it back on the guy that was here to arrest him, and heals him. Peter gets to witness this and see this, okay? So this is all before Jesus' arrest. So he was really, really close to Jesus. And the next slide, after the arrest of Jesus. So up until this point, Peter was like Jesus' best friend. He was so close with him, right? After Jesus gets arrested, after that incident with the guy's ear that got cut off and Jesus healed him and then Jesus rebuked Peter, Peter deserts Jesus along with everybody else. So he went from being, he experienced walking on water with Jesus, he experienced Jesus' miracles, he experienced Jesus' healings. And so when Jesus was arrested, he was so discouraged, he was so down, he deserts Jesus with everybody else. After Jesus was taken, all of his disciples fled. And that's one of the points in the story of Jesus that we can relate to. I don't know, have you ever felt abandoned by people, or lonely, or rejected, or all alone? When we feel those things, it's not because we've willingly gone to try to feel abandoned. We feel abandoned when people aren't there for us. Or maybe somebody that you should have been able to love and trust hurt you and took innocence from you in some way. Maybe there's some horrible things that have gone on that have just made you feel rejected and alone, abandoned. Maybe some of the people that are closest to you have done some things that are hurtful to you. And when those things happen to us, it's not because we've willfully chosen to go and subject ourselves to it. The difference with Jesus, he came as God amongst us and willingly endured the same horrible things that you and I go through, but he did so by choice. It wasn't because of his own bad decisions. You know, in our honest moments, if we're honest, a lot of the bad things that we experience in this life are a result of some of our bad decisions. I mean, there's a lot of things that we experience where we are victims. There's people that go through horrible abuse as children where they were victims and it should have been someone that they trusted. But in our lives, we get ourselves into so much trouble because of our attitudes, because of the things that we do, because of the things that we say to other people, the way we treat people. You know, and we experience abandonment and rejection, sometimes shame. The difference with Jesus, he experienced his closest friends abandoning him, rejecting him, but he did it willingly. Like, he came and willingly experienced all of those things so that you and I could have freedom. And that's the difference. We go through those things, and if we're honest enough to look at our lives, we go, man, I play a big role in some of the pain that I experience just by my attitude, the way I treat people. Jesus experienced the most insane abandonment, rejection of anyone, but he did so willingly. He was perfect, and he willingly subjected himself to that. You know, in all of the depictions of Jesus on the cross, you always see a loincloth because it would be offensive if he didn't have that. But in Roman crucifixions, those guys were crucified naked. Like, the humiliation and the shame that Jesus was subjected to was something that he willingly did. Like, we have those things happen where sometimes we're victims or we've played a role in some of the things that we experience, but Jesus did it for us, willingly, so that he could give us freedom. And the reason there's hope, and the reason I bring all this up, I don't like talking about pain and darkness and difficulty, because sometimes it brings up all kinds of emotions for us. You know, and people that train to be professional counselors are actually taught that you can't bring all of this stuff up in somebody if you're not able to help them work through healing. Because sometimes it can send people into a deeper darkness where they're just all of this stuff that they've been suppressing for years and years starts to come up and all of a sudden they don't know how to deal with it and it sends you into this deeper darkness. But the resurrection of Christ gives us hope that reconciliation is possible regardless of what we've gone through. Because Jesus was willing to subject himself to open shame and humiliation and pain and betrayal. You know, his closest friends that abandoned him and left him. Peter denies Jesus three times in the courtyard. And then it actually says in Scripture that when Peter was denying Jesus in the courtyard, the third time, so what happened was Jesus was arrested and he was taken to this courtyard. He was on trial before the high priest, right? So he's standing before all of the religious elites. He's on trial. And out in the courtyard, there's a bunch of people and they're warming themselves by the fire. And Peter's there and he's just trying to figure out what's going to happen to this Jesus that I've been following for these past 3 years. Is he gonna die? Or is he going to actually rise up and be the king that we know that he should be? Is he going to finally help us to be free from Roman oppression? He's listening, right? And then there's all these really powerful people around and he starts getting asked this question, aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? And over again, Peter denies that he was with Jesus. Like, this is the same guy that said to Jesus, I'd be willing to die for you. And then he proved it by cutting off that guy's ear. right? Like, they were outnumbered. When Peter pulled out a sword and cut off the guy's ear, like, they were outnumbered. He was willing to die. But the reason he was so depressed and had lost all hope was because when Jesus was arrested, he realized that the message that Jesus came to bring was totally different than what he'd understood. Peter, like you and I, was focused on his present circumstances. Like, Peter actually thought that what Jesus was going to do was he was going to be an earthly king that was going to give them freedom from this Roman oppression and Roman rule that they've been under for so long. He was concerned with Jesus fixing the right now, the immediate. Jesus was concerned with giving him hope for all eternity. Jesus didn't have Peter and the disciples and the group of Jewish people at that time in his mind. He had you and I in mind 2,000 years later. So Peter didn't understand that. Peter was like convinced that Jesus was going to like set up this earthly kingdom and was going to give him what he wanted in the present, fix everything right now. And what Jesus had in mind was, I want to bring a message that can give hope to the entire world, Jews and Gentiles, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what your background is, no matter how messed up your life has been. What Jesus had in his mind was for all people. And Peter didn't quite understand that. And so when he was trying to figure it out, he was so down because all he could see was this Jesus that he was close to was going to be killed. And then he thought all hope was going to be lost. He thought there was going to be no hope. And so Jesus, after Peter's third time denying Jesus, it says that he's out in the courtyard and he's cursing and swearing. He's like calling down curses on him. I find this so interesting. Peter, he's like one of the head guys in the early church. He was like one of Jesus' best friends, one of the closest people to Jesus. And he's out in the courtyard, and he's cursing, and he's swearing, and he's freaking out, and he's lying. He's saying, I didn't know Jesus. And Jesus had a plan for Peter to be one of the main leaders in his church. He's really unlikely. Like, he crumbled under pressure. Right? When his view of who Jesus was taken away from him, he totally fell to pieces, and he crumbled. And so he's really unlikely. Like, it would have been okay, and Peter would have been okay with it. If Jesus, after his resurrection, had said, Peter, you let me down, Peter would have said, I know, I'm not worthy. But after Jesus' resurrection, he gives so much grace to Peter. And so, and even after this, after Jesus was killed, Peter, the scriptures tell us, went back to his old way of life. So when he first met Jesus, he was a fisherman, and Jesus famously walks up and says, hey, drop your nets and follow me. So Peter does. He leaves everything and goes to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter, I'm going to show you how to fish for people. Right? And so he follows Jesus. But after Jesus' death, Peter goes back to his old way of life. He's this really unlikely person to be used and chosen by God because he didn't understand why Jesus had come. And I want you just to be a little bit reflective today and look at your own life. Do you see the things that you've done and gotten into and just consider yourself as unworthy? I was talking to Tom leading up to him sharing his testimony. He was just saying, you know, when you get up and do something like that, you're questioning like, man, should I be getting up and talking with Jesus? Because you're so aware of your own mistakes. You're so aware of your own flaws, right? And as he's sharing this with me, I'm thinking, that's how I feel like almost every week. Like, when God had called me, and it's another long story, but when God called me to go into ministry, like, I just am so aware of my own failures and my own mistakes, but God has a way of turning those things around and using them for his glory. So your past doesn't intimidate God. God doesn't see the things that you've done, the things that have gone on in your past, and go, oh, I could never use her. I could never use him. Because he's this God that wants to bring reconciliation. He's this God that is so full of love. On Friday night at the Good Friday service, we talked a little bit about the Notre Dame Cathedral, and there's this big movement to go and fix the Notre Dame Cathedral, which burned down. But do you know that God's desire to fix you is more than the world's desire to fix this cathedral? Like, scriptures tell us that we, his people, we are his cathedral. Like, the Bible says that God doesn't dwell in a temple made by human hands. So the buildings we live in, the buildings aren't what matters. The things that we see physically aren't what matters. God wants to restore you and I. God wants to restore our brokenness, our mess. And the scriptures tell us in Ephesians that we are like God's masterpiece. Like, his love for you is incredible. The reason Jesus went to the cross is because he knew he had to take all evil, all suffering, all pain, all sin on himself so that he could die to it. He's the only one that could do it and not deserve it. Anybody else that, you know, is being punished, we could think, and I think about this a lot too. There's a lot of times we kind of suffer for something maybe we didn't do. And there's been times like, and I don't know if you've ever like thought this way before, but I've there's been times where I was like suffering for something I didn't do. Somebody thought I did something that I didn't. And then this thought hit me like, yeah, but what about all the things that I have done that I wasn't even caught for? Or all the times that like, I just like, I had like a really sarcastic thought towards somebody and it was really prideful and really arrogant. Nobody caught me for that. And then I get all mad that I'm suffering for something I didn't do. And it was like God reminded me like, Nathan, if you suffered for the amount of things that you did do, it would be way worse than what you're enduring now, right? Sometimes we do. We complain about like, oh, I'm suffering for this and it's not right. I didn't actually do it. But just think about all the things that you have done. Like, it's scary. You know, there's when the scriptures talk about judgment, Jesus, the reason he says not to judge, he says, don't judge, because if you do judge, you'll be judged with the measure that you judge other people. Can you imagine when you stand before God, if God used the measure, the way that you look at other people or look down on other people or think, yes, you shouldn't do that. Like, if God uses your standard of measurement against you, that's kind of a scary thought. And that's what Scripture says. And that's what Jesus was the only one that could go to the cross. He was perfect. He was sinless. And he went, he took upon himself all of the sins of all of humanity, all of the brokenness, all of the horrible things, and not just all of the sins of all of humanity, but all of the pain, all of the evil. Whenever I talk about sin, I always think, too, about people that experienced events where they were victims, where there was abuse that had gone on in your life. Jesus took all of that upon himself, and he died to it. And when God rose him from the dead, there's hope for all of us, regardless of what's gone on in our lives. He rights every single wrong if we put our faith and our trust in him. And so Peter, how does Peter go from being this weak disciple to the leader of the church? Peter, and so just to recap this, Peter, his understanding was that Jesus was going to be this earthly king. He was going to, because he was an incredible teacher and he was a healer. And Peter thought, yeah, he's going to fix things right now in the present. But then when Jesus rose again, Peter realized that the message Jesus has was for the whole world. Not just even the people alive then, but 2,000 years later. The reason that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ 2,000 years later is because this message is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. And so there's this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, there's this verse, and this is written after the resurrection. The Apostle Paul, he says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Do you know that when we put our faith in Christ, the scriptures tell us that the way to experience forgiveness, the way to experience peace with God, is to confess to him that we're sinners, that we don't deserve him, that we recognize Jesus took our punishment for us on the cross. We put our faith in him, and scriptures tell us that he washes the slate clean. He justifies us. It's just as if we'd never done those things. And then the New Testament writers are able to say things like this, and this is a quote from the Old Testament. It says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You know, I referenced my family history. My grandfather, who had spent 33 years in prison, he came to faith in Christ, I think it was probably 15, 20 years ago, after having spent, you know, many years in prison. He'd done all kinds of horrible crimes. But when he received Jesus into his life, God transformed him and changed him. And when he was released from prison, my dad ended up starting a ministry on the East Coast called Harvest House, and it's an addiction recovery program and homeless shelter. Well, my grandfather worked there, and he used to come out and share his story with people that were struggling with addictions. And guys that, you know, thought, oh, there's no hope for me, they'd hear his story and be like, wow, like if God could change you, he could change anybody. Well, about 3 years ago, my grandfather died. He was in his early 70s. And it was really incredible. I was in the room in the week before he died. We were in and out a lot. I wasn't in there in the moment that he died. But in the days leading up to it, we were in there spending time with him and reading scripture. And I remember my dad leaving there. And my dad actually led his own dad's funeral. And he said it was incredible to see the peace of my grandfather, his dad. Because this guy was this, at one point, this hardened criminal who had no hope for life, but he experienced such change and such transformation that when he died, there was this peace. And my dad got up and did his funeral with joy and peace in his heart because he had this confidence that he was going to see him again because of Christ. right? And so this scripture, where, O death, is your victory, where, O death, is your sting, if you felt the weight of evil and wickedness and sin and shame, you can turn to Jesus and put your faith in him and receive Christ into your life and be confident that he's wiped your slate clean, that this life is not all that there is, that there's more to come. There's hope for all eternity because of Jesus. If Jesus had stayed in the ground, we would not have a faith worth standing on today. We wouldn't. And nobody would listen to the teachings of Jesus because of some of the claims he made. The only reason we talk about Jesus 2,000 years later, the only reason our whole calendar AD is based on the life of Christ is because he rose from the dead and everything that he said is true. There's actually hope for all eternity. And so I want to point this out, and we're going to spend a little bit of time just singing praise to God after this. The band's going to come up in a few minutes. And if God's speaking to your heart, I just want to encourage you to respond to what he's saying. So Peter had finally understood Jesus' mission. He had finally come to understand that Jesus' desire was to liberate people from evil and wickedness. And in verse 7 of what we had read earlier, this angel at the resurrection, at the tomb, he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. You know what's really interesting? Is that the book of Mark that we're reading from today, that church tradition says that that gospel is actually Peter's gospel. So Peter had a traveling companion named John Mark who traveled around and heard Peter tell all of the stories about Jesus and how what he did to heal people and set up his kingdom and all these things. And he was the one that wrote based on Peter's testimony. So this gospel of Mark comes from Peter. And it's really interesting because Peter throws in there, go tell the disciples and Peter. When the angel said to those two women, go tell the disciples and Peter, that hit Peter deeply. Because it was God's way of saying to Peter, you're forgiven. Yes, you denied me. Yes, you abandoned me. Yes, you said that you were going to, you know, be with me right till the end, and then you deserted me and you didn't. But I've taken care of it because I died for all of that and then I rose again. It was so personal. And so for you and I today, when we put our faith in Christ, he takes away all of the things that we think exclude us from his grace and from his mercy. And Peter, more than anybody else, if you read, and it's really interesting, Peter wrote a couple epistles later in the New Testament, and Peter actually talks about suffering a lot. He says to these Christians, he says, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to live for him wholeheartedly, you're going to experience hardship, you're going to experience difficulty, you're going to experience suffering, but Christ is going to be with you. And that's why when your hope is in Christ, the things in this life, the things that we get caught up with, the things that we get discouraged by, they don't need to matter to the point where they bring us down and bring us to the point of discouragement, because there's hope in Christ.